Briefly, A Delicious Life by Nell Stevens. Read by L. Potter. For Ely. The sky is turquoise, the sea is azure, the mountains are emerald, the air is heaven. Sunny, hot days, everyone in summer clothes, guitars and singing all through the night. Briefly, a delicious life. Frédéric Chopin. Who amongst us has not, at some time, selfishly dreamed of forsaking his affairs, his habits, his acquaintances, and even his friends, to settle in some enchanted island and live without worries? George Sand. Knowing them, I am sure that within a month of being together, they will not be able to stand the sight of one another. Marie Dagout. November. Two men kissing. Of course, it wasn't the first time I'd seen two men kissing. It was 1838, and I had been at the Charterhouse in Val de Mossa for over three centuries by then. I had seen hundreds of monks arrive, kiss each other, and die. But still, the sight of these two stopped me in my tracks. The men, slight bodies, bony, both very short, standing amongst rotting pomegranates and flies in the overgrown garden of one of the abandoned cells, were gripping each other's faces, hands like masks. There was a smell of fermentation rising from the ground, and it gave the scene, the lovers, the kiss, a fizzy, too hot quality. Sweat had worked its way through the shirt and jacket of the smaller one, spreading darkly between his shoulder blades. It was November, but still warm. The weather had yet to turn. The taller man trailed his fingers along the other's neck and let them drape over his shoulder. The hand was very pale, as though it rarely saw the sun, and surprisingly broad below a narrow, snappable wrist. Fine bones pressed against the skin, splayed like a wing. Thick muscle curved around the base of the thumb. The fingers looked heavy, the way they hung, faintly blue, from rounded knuckles. A bird startled in the tree above them and flew off, dislodging a little flurry of feathers and leaves, and both men looked up, as though expecting bad news. 300 years earlier, I'd seen Brother Thomas with Brother Matteo in that very same garden, beard crushing against beard, and the clatter of rosary beads hitting the paving stones. A decade or so after that, there was the boy from the village who sold bad oranges with the boy in the kitchens who made bad preserves. Around the turn of the 16th century, there was a complex triangulation amongst brothers Augustine, Miguel, and Simon. And so on, over the years. Countless combinations, differing ages, differing levels of urgency and tenderness, but always more or less the same. The kissing and gripping, and so often the very same skittishness, the entirely justified fear of being found out. The creeping sensation that they were being watched. The point is, I was used to seeing habits fall from shoulders, formations of body hair on chests, backs, buttocks, etc. I enjoyed it. It was comforting. These, after all, were not the sort of men I worried about. It was the others, the ones who had fewer secrets, that kept me on my toes. What surprised me was the presence of these lovers in the garden at all. There had been no monks at the Charterhouse since the government seized it from the church.